This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Psalm 150 tonight, verse number 6. Tonight, I want to preach to you, teach to you, give to you on the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 150, verse number 6. Listen to what the Word of God says. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Here it is. Praise ye the Lord. Say that last phrase with me. Underline it in your Bible. Read it now. Praise ye the Lord. There are two universal terms in all of humanity that are the same, religiously speaking. It is the word amen and the word hallelujah. In every language that you go to, they are never translated. They are always the same. Amen, hallelujah. The word hallelujah tonight is what I'm looking at. And in fact, that word hallelujah is probably a part of one of the absolutely, probably the most famous song in all of the world. It is out of Handel's Messiah. The most famous part of Handel's Messiah, Scott, is the what? The Hallelujah Chorus. It is the part of the song where it says, King of kings, Lord of lords, hallelujah, he reigneth. And that is a part of the most famous song. It is my personal belief that Handel was under the power of the Holy Spirit when he wrote that. And I believe with all of my heart that that is the tune of the melody that we will sing in heaven according to the book of Revelation 4, 5, and 6. I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit gave that melody and tune to Handel whenever he wrote that. Now, I've come tonight for you because whenever you read Psalm 150, verse 6, you do not see that word hallelujah. But there was a Jewish scholar whose name was Chaim Biaklik, and this is what he said. He said, whenever you read the Bible in any other language but the Hebrew, it's like kissing your bride through a veil. You don't get the full effect. And that is the truth whenever you study the Hebrew. The word there, whenever you see that last phrase, look at it in your Bible. You see that phrase, praise ye the Lord. You see it at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 150, verse 1. You see it in Psalm 149 at the beginning and at the end. Psalm 148, beginning, and you see it there at the end. Psalm 147, at the beginning and at the end. Psalm 146, at the beginning and at the end. And then if you go all the way back to Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, you will see that same phrase, praise ye the Lord. In the Hebrew, it is one big word. It is the word hallelujah. Whenever you read that at the beginning of Psalm 146, 7, 8, 9, and Psalm 150, at the beginning in English, it's four words. In the Hebrew, it is the word hallelujah. Whenever you read that, you can put that there at the beginning, and you can put it at the end. Now, here's what that means. You can take the word hallelujah, and they're going to put it up on the screen. You can take the word hallelujah and split it in half. You have the word halal and the word yah. Now, I believe we have that slide up there. Kim, put that up there. And it is the word halal. You see it? It is the word praise. There, if you split the word hallelujah in half, halal is the word praise. And the word at the end, yah, J-A-H, it is the word from which we get the Lord. And that is where you get the word praise ye the Lord or hallelujah. Whenever you say the word hallelujah, you are saying in the Hebrew, praise the Lord. Whenever someone raises their hands, they are saying praise the Lord. Whenever someone says hallelujah, they are saying praise the Lord. Whenever David here said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and then he ends it and he says hallelujah. Now, we have kindly rednecked that term up a little bit, and we've kindly added a few too many phrases to it. I have heard the old redneck preachers that get up and they'd say, hallelujah. I do enjoy hearing that, But I have to tell you, that's not what it is. It is the word hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I ask two questions when I look at that, and this is what I ask. I ask, what does it mean to praise? What does it mean whenever someone says praise the Lord? Whenever somebody says praise the Lord, they are saying they are going to praise. Now, we use those terms synonymously. Some of you just thought I messed up there. Though we use those two words synonymously, praise and worship. We say we're going to worship the Lord, but that's very different than praising the Lord. When you praise the Lord, you are praising Him for what He does. When you worship the Lord, you are telling Him you are thankful for who He is. Let me give you an illustration. When my wife tells me, Tyler, you are a good man, she is praising my character. She is praising who I am at my core. Now, when she says, Tyler, you are a good dad, she is praising what I do, how I treat my children, how I act around my children. When you worship the Lord, you are telling God, God, you are wonderful. You are holy. You are righteous. You are good. But when we praise the Lord, we are saying, Lord, thank you for the food on my table. God, you are the giver of life. God, you are the creator of the sun, the moon, and the stars. That word praise, this is what it means. It means to rave about. It means to shine. It means to boast about. And it actually comes from a root word, which means to act like a crazy man. And that is what it means to praise the Lord. When you praise the Lord, you are raving about Him, boasting about Him, and getting downright crazy about Him. You say, how can you crazy praise the Lord? I'll tell you how. Have you ever seen somebody walk into the White House? No, I guarantee you haven't, because they didn't stay in there long. And go into the White House and say, yes, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. Trump. I promise you, if they did, they did not stay in there long, because there was two black-suited men that jumped on them quicker than white on rice. That is not how we do that. We don't have that mentality when we praise man. But there is something that rises up in us when it comes to the Lord, that when we praise the Lord, we do it with our hands. We do it with our lips. We do it with our feet. We do it with our hands. There are parts of our body, our being, our soul, our spirit, and it means to praise the Lord. Now, here's what you've got to understand about praise. When are we to praise the Lord? Look at what Psalm 34 and verse number 1. Psalm 34 and verse number 1, David says this. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, you've got to keep these verses in your mind, and I'm not just going to be a preacher that gets up here and tells you to do this. I'm going to show you how to do it in just a second. Then he also said here in Psalm 96, verse number 8, Now look, can I take this thing off? It's about to choke me to death, all right? I'm about to choke to death right up here on this platform. I'm taking it off, all right? I'm about to choke to death, okay? All right. Just so you know. I don't know if my neck's getting fat or if it's getting tight. It got wet. Anyways, I know I'm about to die. Here's what that means. The word Psalm chapter 96, verse number 8. Look at what Psalm 96 and verse number 8 says on your screen. Give unto the Lord the glory that is... Say that word with me, do unto His name. You got to understand that word do, because if you don't understand that word do, you will never understand how and when you are to praise the Lord. Now, let me just stop right there. How many times you and I have been in church services when it got to feeling good in the house of God and people got happy in the house of God and we all felt like raising our hands, but then you've been in the house of God when it was deader than 3 o'clock in the morning and you had had a bad day at work and you had yelled at your husband and your wife 4 times on the way to the house of God and you felt like murdering your children and you wanted to wrap your neck, your hands around your mother-in-law's neck. You know what I'm talking, and you didn't feel like praising the Lord, but you see that verse right there. It doesn't say we praise the Lord when we feel like it, and I know why we don't praise the Lord when we come in those situations. Why? We don't want to be a hypocrite. We don't want people to think that we are something that we're not feeling at the moment. But here's the thing. You realize you can never praise the Lord and be a hypocrite. It is not possible to praise the Lord and be a hypocrite. You can be the low down, sorriest, no good for nothing, rotten scoundrel, and still praise the Lord. How come, preacher? Here's how. Because you don't praise the Lord based off of how good you feel and how good you act. You praise the Lord because of how wonderful He is and how great His wonderful works are and how powerful He is and how wonderful He is. You know that there is a low down, rotten, no good for nothing, sorry scoundrel of a murderer could come up to me and say, boy, you sure are a good preacher. And it doesn't matter what he is, what he's done. All he knows is he's looked at me and judged something about me. And I can be low down, good for nothing, feeling sorry, feeling like I'm down, feeling like I've had a bad day, and I can still lift up my hands and praise the Lord, because it is not based on how I feel. It is based on who he is and how wonderful God Almighty is. Now, there is a verse you need to remember. It's in Psalm 22, verse number 3. Psalm 22, verse 3, watch this phrase. The Bible says, but thou art holy. Watch this. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now watch this. Are you ready? I've never seen this in all of my life. We often praise the Lord when we feel like He shows up, right? When God gets here, we'll praise Him. But the Bible tells us that God shows up after you start praising Him. The Bible is very clear. You don't praise God when you feel like it. You start praising Him and then you'll start to feel like it. You don't praise God whenever it's good in the house of God. You start praising Him and it'll get good in the house of God. You don't praise God in the car when you feel like it. You start praising Him in the car, and before long, you'll feel like it. You say, how come? Because you're going to start seeing those people around you dialing 911, and you're going to say, God, I sure do need your help. I'm just telling you, we've got this thing all messed up. We don't praise Him when we feel like it. We praise Him, and then we start feeling like it. Now, in the Hebrew, words in the Hebrew have Hebrew letter equivalents. For instance, in our language, the word bee, the thing that buzzes around, it has a letter equivalent. The second letter of the alphabet is the word what? Bee. Good. Glad I was. Thank y'all. Worried about this side, but we're okay. The word bee. In the Hebrew, the word hallelujah has a Hebrew letter equivalent. It is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The fifth letter. Do you remember what five is the number of in the Bible? It's the number of grace. It is the Hebrew letter. We get the letter he, he, H-E. We actually, you'll say it like hey, H-E-Y, but it's the letter he, fifth letter. I've got a picture of this letter I want you to see. Now, the word hallelujah starts with that letter and ends with that letter, the word he. Now watch this. In the Hebrew, the reason that they believe this is equivalent to the word hallelujah is because it has the picture of someone big bending over to hear someone small. Psalm 22, verse 3, the Bible says, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And this is what the word hallelujah is teaching you. That when you begin to praise God, when you cannot get His attention any other way, when you feel like you scream and you shout and you cry and you cannot get the attention of God, when you begin to praise God, when you begin to tell Him how good He is, when you begin to tell Him all of the things that He's done for you, the Bible says at that moment, God bends over and begins to listen to what you're saying. Now, here's the question you have. We've seen, remember, hallelujah, halal, praise, we got that. But what about the word Yah? Yah. It's the word, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Why then do we praise the Lord? What did David say in our verse? Praise ye the what? Now, look back at your verse in your Bible. Do you remember what I taught you? Whenever you look in your Bible and you see the word Lord and it's capitalized, it is the name of God, Yahweh. You remember that? Yahweh. You ready? What did Yahweh mean? It's in Exodus 3, I am that I am. It literally means the self-existing one. I am that I am. What does that mean? It means whatever God needs to be, He already is. Now you got to get that in your mind. We have the idea whatever God needs to be, He'll become that. No. Whatever God needs to be, He already is that. It's not God finds out what you need and He becomes that. He finds out what you need and you realize He already is that. You need money to pay your bills. You find out He already owns the cattle on a thousand hillside. You need healing in your body and you find out He is already Jehovah Rapha. You find out that you need grace and you find out He already is the great grace giver. You find out that you need healing in your home and you find out He already is the one that brings healing. Whatever you need, God already is. Preacher, how can I praise the Lord at any time and any situation when you realize no matter what situation comes your way, God already is everything you need Him to be in that situation. You're able to lift your hands and say, God, it's bigger than me, but you already are bigger than the situation. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And God says, I hear you now, son. So that's kind of the first little thing that I got. That ain't even the best part of this whole thing. Number two, write this down. This is the second little point that I've got. Hallelujah and Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Bob, you've never heard that before. I can tell you got puzzled right there. Don't leave me. No, don't leave me. I'm going to show you something as a child of God that I promise you, if you get a hold of, you will never, ever, ever let go of it. Hallelujah and the altar in Solomon's temple. You with me? Hey, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, hallelujah and the altar, Solomon's temple. Watch this. I've got a picture of Solomon's temple that I want you to see. This is kindly a three-dimensional model that you can see. There, I don't know if you can really see. Yeah, you've got a better picture of it up there. There to the right side of your screen, that's the altar. That's where the burnt offerings were made. If you look there as you go on this side, kindly closer down to the bottom, that's the golden laver. That's where the priest would wash, and that's so on and so forth. As you go in and then inside of it, you can see the Holy of Holies. Now watch this. Remember, the very presence of God was inside at the Holy of Holies. Remember that? That was the presence of God. But watch this. Before you could get into the presence of God, what did you have to do? You had to go by the altar where the blood was flowing. Before you could get into the presence of God, you could only get there through the blood of the sacrifice. If you wanted to march into the presence of God, there had to be a lamb that had given its life. If you wanted to stand and see the presence of God as the high priest, you had to have a lamb that would give its life. Now watch this. Who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? Say it with me. Jesus. With me? All right. You're looking at that altar, okay? You're looking at that. I'm going to look at it with you. You with me? All right. If you're with me, say hallelujah. Okay, good. Directly above the altar, straight up, is north. Okay? You with me? North. Straight up, north. So if straight up is north, then directly to your right is east. Okay? Okay? To the east, to the right, that is where there was a choir, a Levitical choir. We find that out in 2 Chronicles 5 and 12. You don't have to turn there, but 2 Chronicles 5, 12, it tells us that the Levitical choir and orchestra was directly to the east. You could not get into the presence of God until you heard the praises of God. Now watch it. Now hold on. Remember, everything means something in the Bible. You with me now? Do you know what happened on the north? You with me? Caleb, which way's north? Up. That's exactly right. Do you know what happened north? Do you know what they did to the sacrifice there? North of the altar is where the sacrifice was cut, slain. The blood was shed on the north end of the altar. They would directly come around that altar from the north, and they would go up those stairs. You see the stairs on the altar? You with me? And they would put the sacrifice there. Now watch this, okay? After the sacrifice is burned up, they would take the remains of the dead sacrifice and lay it on the east end of the altar. We find that Leviticus 1 and 16. Now watch this. Where were the priests praising the Lord? Where the remains of the sacrifice were left. Where the ashes from the dead sacrifice remained is where the praises of God rang out. Some of you are wondering where I'm going. Let me take you to where I'm going. We have a sacrifice that was slain on the north end of the altar, and his name was Jesus Christ. Where is our praise founded? Our praise is founded in where the remains of our sacrificial lamb was laid down. And where were the remains? Oh God, I felt God on that point. Where were the remains of the sacrificial lamb laid down? It was in a little garden tomb. I want to show you that garden tomb if I can, because here is where the praises of God are found. They are found in the fact that the remains of our founder are not in the empty tomb. They are not in that grave anymore. He is alive forevermore. Why can I praise God when I don't feel like it? Because at the end of the day, big boy, it doesn't matter if I feel like it. Jesus is still alive. Our founder's still on the throne. He's still in charge. I'm able to lift my hands up to the heavens and say, God, praise ye the Lord. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Never more to die again. That's why we're able to say, whether we feel like it or not, hallelujah. They praised where the remains were left. Where do we praise? That's why you need to go to Jerusalem with me. I promise you, you'll walk into that tomb. You'll look in there and you'll see that crusader cross right above where his body was. And they say in that grave on that day when Martha came to that tomb, or Mary came to that tomb, and she looked inside and saw two men in white apparel sitting there. She said, what have you done with the body of my master? What have you done with the body of my Savior? Those men looked at her and said, why seek ye the living here among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And ladies and gentlemen, for the last 2,000 years, people have wandered into that little garden tomb, and they have looked inside of that grave, and they have realized, though Buddha may be still dead and Muhammad may still be dead, and inside the tomb there at Mecca, the remains remain. Inside of the tomb in Jerusalem, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He is not there. He is alive. And that's why we say praise He, the Lord. I've got a third point, and this is the point of the whole message that I believe until the day I die, I'll never forget it. Number three, with every breath we speak God's name. Go back to your verse. David said this, let everything that hath what? Breath. Now wait a second. Remember, every word in the Bible means something, does it not? Why didn't David say, let everything that has life praise the Lord? Why didn't he say, let everything that hath a heart praise the Lord? He said, let everything that hath what? Breath praise the Lord. Why? Well, some people say it's because every breath we receive, God gives it to us. Because God gives us our breath, G. Campbell Morgan said, he that giveth us breath expects that breath to be returned in praise to him. But that's not it. That's not it. There's a Jewish writer, his name is Chaim Bitora, and he gives insight on this, and this is what he says. He says in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses is standing at the burning bush, now follow me. When Moses is standing at the burning bush, the Bible tells us that Moses said, but Lord, I am slow of speech. Do you remember that? Moses had a severe speech impediment. He I don't know if it was a stutter, a stammer. The Jewish writers say that he had a thick tongue, which made him unable to pronounce any of the names of God. He could not pronounce El Olam. He could not pronounce El Elyon. He could not pronounce Jehovah Shammah. He could not pronounce Jehovah Rapha. He could not pronounce Jehovah Nisi. He could not pronounce any of those names. Why? Because with every one of those names, you have to use the tongue. Say them with, say the word Jehovah. Jehovah Shah. So God in that moment, this is what the rabbi said. God in that moment revealed to Moses a name that he did not need his tongue. He simply needed his breath. Moses, you do not need your tongue to say it. You simply need breath. Yahweh. Now, this is what the Holy Ghost gave me. You ready? This is what the Holy Ghost gave me. If it gets real quiet, do you realize that your inhaling sounds like Yah and your exhaling sounds like way? Every breath we take, we speak the name of God. Now you ready? It gets better. Watch. Do you remember what the name Yahweh meant? It meant I am that I am. I am able because I already am everything you need. Watch this. With every breath I speak, I am confessing, God, you are everything I need. Every breath I breathe. God, I'm broken. You're able. God, I'm afraid. You are my shelter. God, I'm broken. You are my refuge. God, I'm afraid. I am that I am. That's why he said, let everything that hath breath. And that's why he couldn't end without saying, hallelujah. That's what the word Yahweh means. And that's what the word hallelujah means. Every breath you take, you confess to the world, the devil, the flesh, my God can. The deaf man who cannot say El Elam can say Yahweh. The illiterate man that cannot speak Jehovah Nitzeku can say Yahweh. Praise God.